Christmas is a time of celebration, isn't it? We love to celebrate at Christmas. It's great to have things like this that we can come to. Anybody been to a school nativity play so far? Nobody? Nobody here has been to a school nativity play this year. Wow. Do schools still do them? Our daughter goes to a performing arts school. They had a Christmas show, which was amazing. They had everything from The Lion King to Adele, whoever that is. And it was fantastic. But people love to celebrate at Christmas, even people who don't believe in Jesus, who may not know anything of the birth of Jesus, people who don't even realize that Christmas is a Christian festival, tradition, holiday, whatever you want to call it. People love Santa, don't they? The amount of movies that are coming out with Santa. Anybody seen that new one that's got my body double in it? You know, The Rock. It's not supposed to be a comedy. People love the Coca-Cola lorry, don't they? You know, Christmas is coming, or all of that. The Elf movie, that's a big one at Christmas. What other Christmas movies are there that people enjoy? Home Alone? Home Alone 3, Home Alone 4. Die Hard? Is show of hands, is Die Hard a Christmas movie? Okay, we're split. But hands down, that's the best Christmas film. Hands down? No, okay, right, never mind. But sadly, for many people, they don't even realize, as I said a moment ago, many people in the world, they experience Christmas, they experience something of Christmas without even knowing that it's about Christ. They don't know the reason for the season. They may have a very merry Christmas by the world standards with the turkey and family and all of those things, which are amazing, but they don't realize what's behind it all. They don't realize who is behind it all. I've got 3 points that I want us to consider this evening as we go about our Christmas celebrations over the next couple of weeks. And those 3 points are the reality of Christmas, the hope of Christmas, and the miracle of Christmas. And the last one's got nothing to do with the movie. The reality of Christmas is that Christ has come. The Messiah has been born. Our youth group did it so well just then, portraying that in a humorous and in an inventive way. But it's the truth that is behind that story. The reality of Christmas is that Christ has come. The Messiah has been born, stepping out of eternity and into the form of a human baby. God has come. As Charles Wesley, the famous hymn writer, said in one of his hymns, let earth and heaven combine. He said, the incarnate deity, our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. Christ has come at exactly the right and appointed time Christ came. Church tradition says that we remember the birth of Jesus on the 25th of December. The reality is that Jesus, as many of us know, was probably born in March or April in the springtime. Neither the shepherds or the sheep would have been out in the fields in the deep midwinter. The actual specific date of the birth of Jesus really isn't important. What is important is that we believe that his birth actually happened. On an actual day and date in history, it happened. The reality of Christmas actually took place. Whether it was in the bleak midwinter, or whether it was in summer, whether it was in spring, or whether it was in the autumn, Christ was born. We know that it was in the evening. We know that he was born in Bethlehem. We know that he was laid in an animal's feeding trough. That is how the Son of God came into this world. The reality of Christmas happened. Not in a palace, not in a hospital, or where anybody who was writing a story may have used as a suitable venue for the birth of the King of Kings, the Savior of humanity. The reality of Christmas took place in a dirty, smelly place where animals were kept. You know that there's an important message in this. No place is too common for Jesus. No circumstance is beneath Jesus. And by extension, no heart is too far from him. No soul is too compromised for him to enter in. That is the reality today of Christmas. And then there's the hope of Christmas. Maybe that first Christmas was very different from what Mary may have hoped for. That journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem was not an easy one. Even for a person in their peak physical fitness, it could take its toll. But for a woman who was 9 months pregnant, that journey would have been an absolute nightmare. Maybe Mary had hoped that Joseph would have been able to find them somewhere nice to stay. You think he could have booked somewhere, you know, maybe a Travelodge or, you know, Holiday Inn Express or something like that. Maybe even an Airbnb. But it didn't happen. Maybe she had hoped that there would be somebody there to assist with the birth of her baby. But it didn't happen. Maybe she had hoped for a comfortable bed rather than a bed of straw, but it didn't happen. But whatever Mary hoped for, I'm sure that the moment that Jesus was born, Mary knew that Jesus was worth everything that she had endured, and a different type of hope was born that day. Listen to the opening words of this Christmas carol from Philip Brooks. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. The hopes and fears of all these years are met in thee tonight. Those words could have been Mary's prayer of praise in her heart that night. The hope of Christmas shows us that we can place our hope, we can place our faith, we can place our trust in God. Do you need to be reminded of that tonight, maybe? Remember, Romans 8:28 tells us that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purposes for them. When Christ was born, so was our hope. Because Christ came, God is always near us. He is always for us. He is always in us through the presence of his Holy Spirit. Jesus understands what you feel. He knows what you face today. And he can bring hope into the darkest of any circumstance. We have that hope. We have a hope that is steadfast, a hope that is certain. God can use times of difficulty and struggles in our lives to accomplish his will and purpose. That's the hope of Christmas. The certain hope of Christmas is that God has sent his only son, Jesus, to bear our burdens and to save us from our sins. Sins are simply those things that we've all done that separate us from a perfect God. And that leads me nicely to the miracle of Christmas. The miracle of Christmas is that Jesus was born to save us from our sins, to make a way to God. Jesus once said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. I've said this many times from this platform. This wasn't Jesus being exclusive. This wasn't Jesus saying, my religion is better than any other religion. This was Jesus being inclusive in the most incredible way. This was Jesus making a way to the Father where there was no way before. Romans 3 says that we're made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus. And this is true for everyone who believes. No matter who we are, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard, yet God in His grace freely makes us right in His sight today. He did this through Jesus Christ when He freed us from the penalty of our sin. The miracle of Christmas means that we have a Savior. The miracle of Christmas is the most incredible Christmas gift, the free gift of salvation to all who believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. The miracle of Christmas is Jesus entering the world to save us from those sins. The reality of Christmas today is that the Savior has come. The hope of Christmas today is that the Savior has come. The miracle of Christmas today is that the Savior has come. He showed His love for us by sending His only Son, Jesus, to take away our sins. 1 John 4, verse 10 reminds us that real love is this. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away those sins. The baby Jesus grew. He grew to be a man who became that sacrifice, that atoning sacrifice. How do I explain the word atoning? Maybe just with the words at one. He made us at one with Him. Jesus took the punishment that we deserved. He paid the ultimate price to save us. Romans 5, 6 says that when we were utterly helpless, like we all are, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came just at the right time and He died for us. Every one of us. The message of Christmas is that the Savior has come. We have a Savior whose body was broken. His blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. And Jesus was born to die in my place and in your place today. It sounds like I'm preaching an Easter message. But you know what? Christmas and Easter are two sides of the same coin. You've got to have one with the other because each gives meaning to the other. Jesus conquered death. He rose from the grave. And in Him, and in Him alone, we have this promise of eternal life and peace with God. That's the most amazing gift that any of us can receive this Christmas. Let us pray. Father, today we thank You. We thank You for Christmas. We thank You for Christ. We thank You that He came as a baby, that He endured everything of humanity, everything that the world had to offer and everything that the world had to throw at Him. And He went through it all for us. And Lord, we thank You that all those years ago, You came as a child, a helpless baby. And we thank You, Lord, that that is just as relevant today as it was then. Lord, would You reach out to each heart and each soul this Christmas that we may know Your reality, Your hope, and Your miraculous power. Amen.